Thank you so very much. It's a joy to be here. We were here in the 15 and 16, right during that time, I think five or six times. And we were here the Sunday you voted on your pastor. And we're so glad that he's here and his wife. I enjoyed the fellowship of them last night. There's history being made today. As I travel and speak with my wife, this is the first time that I've shared the pulpit with my pastor on a Sunday, me doing one of the messages, him the other one. When I'm not on the road, we're at Pastor Kelly's church, and so this is kind of unique. My wife sends greetings. She wanted to be here in the worst way. She keeps track. She's got a booklet or something, names of you, people that she prays for, she thinks of in the churches from Allegash, Maine, all the way down into Massachusetts and Alaska. And she has just praised the Lord for you. She was so upset. She has cough, berry, and asthma. And she can't always, most of the time she's with me. We had a Bible conference at our church, and she had to miss some of the meetings because she just the coughing. And, of course, with this virus thing, when she walks into stores and stuff, people are like, you know. But she wanted to be here, and so give you the greetings from her. I didn't want you to think we'd separated and gone our separate ways. We've been married 51 years, and I thank the Lord for that. She hopes to be with me next week out in Vinyl Haven. That's an island off of Rockland. There's a church out there without a pastor, and I go out from time to time and preach there and go out by ferry for an hour and 15-minute ride and whole different culture. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 1. It was a joy for me to be on the council yesterday. I thought that Nate did very well. You know, for his age and before all of us ugly-looking men, you know, it must have been scary. But he did well, and looking forward to what's going to take place this afternoon. I know there'll be others here that are coming that took part in that. And it's a joy to serve on councils. I have done that in several places. And it is a joy to see young men being trained and then going out being sent by the church. John chapter 1, verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear a witness of a light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear a witness of that light. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would help us today as we look into your word. We thank you for this joyous occasion. We thank thee for calling Nate into the ministry and his wife with him. And as this church has the privilege of ordaining him, I pray that what we look at this morning will just be thought-provoking to realize the church's responsibility. We would ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. I've been looking forward to this time. Way back, I don't know how many months ago, your pastor asked me to speak at this and to serve on the council. I was so afraid this thing they call the virus would stop this. I wouldn't be able to have it. I'm glad it's working out, able to go through with it. You know, it's exciting because this should be the norm in churches. This should be the norm to see young men, and not always just young men. Our candidate's father said that he was called into the ministry as a married man. I had one in my church, used to sit right there, not in that place, but in our church. And he cried through the message. And I said, what's wrong? What's wrong? He was a deacon in our church, Sunday school superintendent, sang in the choir, beautiful voice. He said, I think God's called me to preach. So we started mentoring. I'd meet with him every week, as I did with four or five guys over the years that have gone. And today he is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Wiscasset, Maine. Before that, he was up in Lubeck for 19 years. It was a joy. We hate to lose him. I mean, musically, they were tops. His wife was a superb organ and piano player. But I'll tell you, they went on to Bible college, and he's in the pastorate. And what a joy to see that. It was a joy for our church to see several go to see them ordained, go. But to see them, first of all, began to get what I call the itch. That's what I got when I was in my teenagers. Like, I knew something was up. I thought I was going to be an evangelist. I said, Lord, I don't want to be a pastor. I'll be an evangelist. So the Lord made me a pastor for 44 years. My wife has said she never wanted to be a pastor's wife. Guess what? She did that for 44 years. Never tell the Lord you won't do something. You know, and the thing that I thought I'd be doing, I didn't do. I thought I'd be an evangelist then. But, you know, the Lord is so good. And I'm excited about this with these two. But my challenge today is to get, you know, they call it to charge the church. I like to think of it this way, to put a charge in the church. All right? Now, Pastor Kelly will give him the charge this afternoon. But the charge for you and for me. Yeah, I'm amazed at this. The Bible says here, number one, there was a man. God didn't use angels to pastor churches or be missionaries. He used men. Where I went to school many years ago, the president of our school used to take us to that passage of Scripture where it says, God has chosen the foolish things of this world, the weak things of this world, you know, and all these down things. And he reminded us, that's God's toolbox. And you were here to learn because God has called you out of that toolbox. He didn't call those who had all kinds of special talent. And, you know, there was a day I couldn't speak in public like this. God did it. I'm saying this is exciting because folks don't think, well, okay, we're ordaining Nate today and we're all done with that. No, you're not. In several areas, first of all, there was a man. A man. A man with human weaknesses. A man who has, come things that I'm sure he is bothered about himself. I'm still bothered by things in me at times about my life. And yet, God called me to pastor. Called me to preach. I'm amazed at that. You know, and every young man or married man I've seen that have gone off and been trained and been ordained, I'm just amazed. Look how God just put that touch on them, as it were, and said, I want you. But this ought to be the norm in every independent Bible-believing church. Sending young men out, but watching for them as a church, as you see maybe God beginning to deal with their heart. And then your pastor perhaps giving them an opportunity to preach. I used to have what I call the sharper sword Sunday nights, where I had young fellows in high school, older high school kids, that I sensed God was dealing with. I haven't preached on Sunday nights. They were scared after death. But I just wanted to help them, push them along, encourage them. Not that I called them, God did, but I sensed it. But you look at it and say, well, now, he's going to be staying here at least for a while, perhaps a good long time. We don't know. But, we'll see him next Sunday. Things are back as usual. Well, you're seeing today that God has called him, men, his peers, men who were in the ministry, sat upstairs in the room here, or this room, I guess. I don't know. This place is a maze. You know? But we questioned him for over 4 hours. We found out his shoe size, what size shirt he wears. No, not really. And there were some questions we asked him that he couldn't answer. That didn't bother us. Because I'll tell you, Pastor Kelly and me and your pastor, we're older. I'm the old guy around here now. And there are still things I'm learning and things I can't answer. What about the heart? What about that goal of the heart? Now, you as a church are having the privilege of ordaining him today. But you're ordaining a man. Don't wash your hands and say, okay, we've done our part. We have ordained him. He's going to need your prayers. He's going to need your help because he is a human being. And I say this not to be disrespectful, but he burps just like you. He does. People think that pastors have a big P on the chest right here, you know. And boy, I mean, they are superhuman beings. No, they're not. There's a man sent from God. A man. That just amazes me. Not an angel, not a superhuman creature, but a human being. He has limitations. There are times he's going to get discouraged with himself. There are times he's going to be frustrated with himself. There are going to be times that, you know, it's like, boy, why do they even put up with me? I have felt that so many times over the years as a pastor. And I say to you as a church, as God keeps them here and uses them, you know, and then whatever the Lord has in the future, Look out for him. Pray for him. Encourage him. I challenged him yesterday to read. But I tell you, there are young men like him and they're reading the wrong books. They're getting the wrong teaching. And they've sold out. Why is it pastors are staying in their 70s in pastorates? Because they can't find good, solid young men to come take their place. Some of you know Bob Philbrick in Clinton. 78 years old now. He just retired the end of last year, but now he's regularly every Sunday, interim pastoring. His heart's in the pastorate, but his son is there taking the church and doing a very fine job. I'm saying this, that we need, where do they come from? I appreciate it this morning. Brother Townsend at Sunday school said, you know where pastors, future pastors come from? You said, I know, Bible colleges. No, churches like this. Churches like this. I came out of a church in Presque Isle. I was a young lad and began to feel that God was dealing with me. And our pastor encouraged and encouraged. And then I moved to Rockland, and my pastor there encouraged me. The dean of the Bible college and the president of the Bible college, the president, mentored me, worked with me. And I'm thinking, I'm going to be a pastor. I'm going to be an evangelist. No, it was pastor. These men poured their lives into me. But it's not just your pastor that's going to pour his life into them. It's you. Praying for them, encouraging them, realizing that they are human, realizing that he is human. Don't forget that as a man, there are times that, you know, maybe he's going to be asked to preach here, and you can just tell he's just having physical problems. He's having, you know, that's because he's human. But he's called of God. There's the difference. So he's called of God from and through a local church. I came from a church in Presque Isle back in the 50s where we had carloads heading off to Bible college. We had Presque Isle Air Force Base. Our pastor would reach out to these guys. They get saved, they get burdened, and they begin to feel, and they went off to Bible college. I don't know if any of you here know Ken Poole, but Ken was one of them. He was one. He was one of the older ones. Our pastor had a whole list of his preacher boys. They got Christmas cards every year until the pastor died at 96 or 95. But I tell you, two things were norm. Heading off to Bible college and ordinations. It was just, whew. We wanted to keep them there. Now, one of the guys I mentored in Palmer ended up being my assistant pastor for 19 years. Some, they keep right there. That's fine. That's fine. There are the goers and there are the senders. There are those that stay behind and have that church to move on. And then they send others out who are goers. I say to you today, you're looking at this couple. You look at this man. You've watched him here. You felt that, and the pastor felt, the deacons felt that he needed to go before council and be ordained. Don't forget, he is just a man. My mother loved preachers. She encouraged, when they went off to Bible college, she wrote, I don't know how many letters a week, to preachers. Bob Philbrick was one of them. And others. When she was dying, cancer, yellow with jaundice, in their apartment in Rockland, one night a number of people came to see her, and they go in the room to see her, and they're all in the living room. And she says, son, come here. I just counted 10 preachers here. 10! She was so excited about that they would come see her. Half of them she'd had since teenager, because she was a dorm mother at Glen Cove Christian Academy for years for the boys. She had Bob Philbrick as a teenager. She had others as teenagers. But she was so thrilled to see 10 preachers there. Listen, don't think that preachers and pastors are old passé, old fashioned. They are Bible centered. But if we're not praying for them, not encouraging them, they can sell out. They can go the wrong way. They can go the wrong direction. There was a man sent from God. You need to encourage him. Pray for him. I'd encourage you here at the church. Walk up to your pastor and the one who was assisting him and say, how can I pray for you right now? If you sense they have a need, If you sense, you know, he preached on a Sunday, fill in for the pastor or whatever, drop him a note. Thank you for preaching, and it was a blessing to me. Just that encouraging. Feed that fire. Put the charge into him, but I'm putting the charge into you. Think of how can we help preachers? Don't just think it's going to be young kids coming through this church. God may put his hand on men who are in their 30s, 40s. When I was in Bible college, I had guys in my class in their 50s and 60s. They got a call to pastor at that age. Don't forget this. Secondly, with the message, verse 8. There was a man sent from God. Sent from God. Spirit-led, directed him through a local church under the auspices of a pastor and church, and the church mentors and encourages and grooms, and then off to Bible college, and you still encourage them, and then when they get their first church, oh, wow, you know, whew, to pray for them, to encourage them. This dear man has gone to Bible college. Now he's here serving. He came as just to learn, and he stayed. There was a man sent from God. That's special. Sent from God. I know Pastor Kelly and I have talked about it. It's just amazing that God reached down and said, I want you. Unbelievable. A man sent from God. Sad to say, there are some men that never should have gone into the ministry. Their mother and father sent them. Or a friend sent them, but God didn't call them. And they'll go in and make an awful mess because they were never called to begin with. Why do you have a council like we had yesterday? To question, and we heard testimony from his wife and from him. And for men, say, this man has it. This man wants to be used of God, and we see where he is, has a heart for God. That's why you have ordination council. A man sent from God. There's nothing he can't do with God helping him, directing him, guiding him. Can you imagine, at the age of 23, I became pastor just 2 miles from West Point, New York. I had colonels, majors, captains in my church, and I used to think, good night, what am I doing here? 10 years, almost. And God worked, because in his toolbox, he used the weak things, the foolish thing. That's the one he used. Oh, this is exciting. Don't miss this as a church. And then, with a message. He's got a message. And God will continue to give him messages, and God will continue to give him that which he would have him preach and teach. Now, his calling, a man sent from God, sent to preach the word of God. Born again, loves the Lord, growing. Do you know, you look at me, old, I'm in my 70s, you say, well, you've reached the apex. I mean, you've arrived. No, I'm still growing. Amen. Still learning. And the minute you stop learning, hang it up. Just give it up. You still learn. I'm still learning things. And God is still teaching me things. Yes, praise God, Nate believes the Bible. Nate believes the truth, but Nate believes in walking a separated life for the glory of God, and that a church should. Now, this afternoon, you're going to see something interesting here, where the men who were on the council will come up and they'll put their hands on him, and are stating that we believe God has called this man to the ministry. You say, where do you get that? Well, look, turn over to Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. I want you to see how it works here. Verse 1, Acts 13. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets, certain men, serving in the local church. Where did Paul come from? Where did these others come from? From the local church. They ministered to the Lord, the church did, and they said, you know what? God wants to use these two. Now notice verse 3. And when they had laid their hands on them, they sent them out. It's the church saying, This man is called of God. You're going to keep him here now for a while, but I'm just saying he's called of God to be his brother here or wherever it might be. The church is saying that. The men are saying that. They sent them out. Paul later said to Timothy over in Timothy, don't forget, Timothy, how the men of God gathered around you, put their hands on you and said, you're called of God. Paul had mentored Timothy. He was like his son. He called him that in the faith. There were those who said, praise God, he put hands on this man. He's the one, he's to go. I tell you, when I was ordained many, many years ago, there were 25 on my council. And they had me come up on the platform. And there were all these 25 leaning around, had their hand. A few had their hands on my head. Some, I thought they were going to break my neck. You can imagine all these guys leaning forward. They all wanted a piece of me, you know. And it was precious. I never forget that. What a just an awesome thing of these men. Many of them are dead today. Saying, Paul is called of God. We see it. We believe it. We encourage it. You're going to see that this afternoon. That will excite your heart. But then say, okay, we're done. Hold it. Oh, no. This is a new beginning with him. Now you can say, all right, now, what part can we have now? What part can we have now with this man? How can we help him? Yes, because he is a man, he needs your patience, your understanding, your consideration, your prayerful support. Paul would rejoice at knowing that there were churches that had been praying for him. Some even sent gifts to him and helped him in the ministry. They were there for him. Because of that, he continues to need our prayer support, our encouragement, and not our criticism. Going to make mistakes. Remember Pastor Green down in Wisconsin when he was younger? He'd call me from up in Lubeck. Oh, Pastor, I've blown it today. Oh, man, you know what I did? I said, join the club, buddy. I've done that before, too. You have? Yes. Just move on. Get down before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Today, I didn't do a sinful thing, but it wasn't the brightest thing for a pastor to do. I said, oh, you'll have more of those. Isn't that encouraging? But I prayed for him. I still pray for him every night. In fact, every church we've been in the last 5 years, including yours, we pray for them every night. But when they're seeking a pastor, after they get a pastor, because the churches today need to stand strong for the Lord on the battlefield because many are selling out. And I just rejoice. Here's one that said, I don't want to sell out. I don't want to go that way. I want to be a servant of God. Now, I'm what they call the sunset years. I haven't seen it yet, but the sunset years and say, well, you know, down the hill and whatever. Now we see the balance. It was a man sent from God. A man, but sent from God. There's the balance. And the church recognizes that. Now I would say whether it's Brother Nate or your pastor, it's very easy for us to say, oh, he blew this today. No, he's, you know, rather than saying, Lord, bless him. Thank God he's here putting up with us. You know, I mean, now I'm on the other side. I was the pastor for years. Now I'm a churchgoer in a local church. But he's the pastor for me. When I went to Lewiston, my wife and I, we met with them, and I told Pastor Kelly, now look, I've come here. I put myself under your authority as pastor. Yes, I'm an ex-pastor. Yes, I travel and speak, but then I'm at the church. Because God called. Yes. And God has called Nate. Do you suppose he could call others out of this church? Have you prayed that God would? You see? Have you prayed about that? Lord, bring some dear men out of our church. And notice he didn't call women to be pastors. He called men to be pastors. He didn't, as I said earlier, he didn't call angels to be pastors. Now, this is what we sometimes think of pastors as to what is needed. Somebody asked people to put together a list of a good pastor must have. Listen to this. He must have the strength of an ox, the tenacity of a bulldog, the daring of a lion, the wisdom of an owl, the harmlessness of a dove, the industry of a beaver, the gentleness of a sheep, the versatility of a chameleon, the vision of an eagle, the hide of a rhinoceros, the perspective of a giraffe, the endurance of a camel, the bounce of a kangaroo, the stomach of a horse, the disposition of an angel, the loyalty of an apostle, the faithfulness of a prophet, the tenderness of a shepherd, the fervency of an evangelist, the devotion of a mother, and yet he won't please everyone. Why? A man sent from God. What if some people, some place, in some church hadn't encouraged that man? You know, you ever think about that? What if some person hadn't encouraged this brother to go on, to go to Bible college, married man, mercy? No, what if it hadn't happened? And Stratton, you know, they've got a pastor up there today that preaches the word. What about if Pastor Kelly had not been encouraged by the pastor out there in Kansas? What about it? Don't give up. These are dark days in our country. And yet, in the midst of all this virus stuff and all this political mess and all this Supreme Court stuff, we are sitting here today taking our mind off that and saying, isn't it great that God called a man? You ought to be excited about it. You ought to go and say, boy, this is the best thing that ever happened to our church right now. This is just, Lord, just go get another one. Pray for another one. Pray that God would bring forth another man. Now, because he's a man, though, don't forget this. He's going to be tempted. Pastors are tempted. Number of things can get your attention. There are pastors who have been tempted by women. There are pastors who have been tempted by money. There are pastors who have been tempted by fame, bigness, whatever it might be. Tempted. But by the grace of God, they can go on and not have to do that kind of stuff. When my mother died, she died at the age of 70 of breast cancer. And she had just been a prayer warrior down through. She was a very blunt woman. When I was in New York, I was telling the pastor, Mom and Dad would come down from Rockland. And I would tease her because one person said they should have named her Frank because she was so frank. But I used to say, well, Saturday night about 9 o'clock. I guess I'd go upstairs and find something to preach on tomorrow. And she'd say, if you haven't got it now, get out of the ministry. Boom, just, you know. But she died. And, you know, she prayed every week. She'd say, what time does your message start? I'll be praying. So a lady in South Carolina, who'd been a friend of our family for years, she knew me when I was 11 years old. She wrote me and she said, your mother's gone. I'm going to take her place. I'll be praying for you every week when you step into the pulpit. And I knew, man, if I ever messed up, she would come after me. This woman was, she loved the Lord. She's gone now. She's in heaven. Cancer. But I got a wife that prays. I've got others that pray. They don't give up. I got a brother-in-law that's a pastor up in Lee. He'll be here today. I mean, I'm just so thankful for the fellowship he and I can have as brother-in-laws. We agree on the same doctrinal issues and things, and we can fellowship and we can share. But, you know, I look at Mitch. I preached his high school graduation in Clinton years ago. And I came on the platform with Pastor Philbert, and I'm sitting like this, and they had the seniors give their testimonies, and Mitch got up, and he had the old-time computer things with all the holes like this. And he had a whole stack, and he held on the top and right to the floor. He said, I got a few things to say in my testimony today. I thought, who is this nut? He married my sister. I married them. He's a pastor. God uses the weak things. Don't tell him I said that. No, I love him. I love him. So thankful we're closer now and not way down in Massachusetts. I say this He's going to be tempted. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14. Now, Pastor Kelly will be charging him this afternoon. But remember what Paul is telling Timothy. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with a laying on of hands by the presbytery, the local church. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly unto them. And he said, take heed to yourself. There are some things. You want to have a prayer list for your pastor and for this young man? Right there. Verse 14, 15, 16, and so forth. Pray for them about that. Why are so many men today becoming liberal? I went to school with some. So did they. Why? Because they didn't take heed. Pray for him on these things. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. I gave you that one. 1 Timothy, chapter 6. I want that next. Chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. There are some things for you as a church to pray for Nate about. Yeah. You want to pray for him on those things. And when the Lord someday leads him out of here or keeps him here, whatever the Lord has, keep praying for him till you die. Churches don't realize they got that awesome responsibility. Why? Because of all these things. Don't look at him just as a man. And you say, well, he's just like me. Yeah, but here's the thing that we recognize as we talk to him. And this is what churches need to realize about their pastor. What makes the difference between that man and other people? Because God has deputized him. I was a little kid out in Presque Isle. Remember the crossing patrol that have kids with a white strap like this and a badge? I was one of those creatures. It used to amaze me that I'd go out in the street and go like this, and cars would line way up waiting until I got the kids across. I was wearing that badge. Whoa. You see, sometimes pastors are afraid to take the stand they should because people may not like them, forgetting that God has deputized them. Preach the word, do right. Oh, Dr. Bob Sr. used to say, do right till the stars fall. Don't ever stop. Pray he'll always do right. Pray he'll always do right. Pray I'll always do right. Do the right things in a wicked and perverse generation. Must come to a close. But I'm thrilled today at all of this. I was excited for weeks about this. I had her on the counter. Boy, this is going to be great. Ordination, questioning, get a chance to preach at it, talk to the people there, because I love the Corinth Baptist Church. Wow, this is exciting. But don't let it stop. Keep praying. I had people in the church in Presque Isle, and also people in the church in Rockland. Just encouraged me. Pastor would have me preach in prayer meeting or whatever, and they were right there encouraging, keep it up, keep going. And then as I traveled, just like we're doing now, only it was before we got our first church. I was way up in Presque Isle on a Wednesday night preaching at the church I was saved in. And I was only 22, and I walked out there on the platform, and here are all these people I knew when I was a little boy. And they're so excited because I'm a preacher. We get so excited about baseball players, basketball players. You know, I used to play basketball, coached basketball for years. But you know, now when I'm out there, whether it's a basketball and there's a hoop, my mind says, you can do it, and the body says, forget it. Do that. But I can still preach. Nate will be able to preach till God calls him home. One man we used to have in our Bible college to come speak, he'd been a missionary in Africa or India for 60 years. He preached the last days of his life from a wheelchair. They'd wheel him out on the platform. And his eyes were so bad, he held the Bible with a flashlight like this. A boy, could he preach. God's hand was on that man until he breathed his last breath. This is an exciting step for him. I don't mean to keep pointing, but this is an exciting step. But there's an exciting step for you. Get involved. Get involved. You men, when you have your prayer meeting, pray for him. When your church has prayer meeting, pray for him. Be there. When he comes to speak in a service here, pastor's away or sick or whatever, be there. Because God has given him a message to give. You see? Be there. And then show kindness, encourage him, help him. Be watcher for his soul. You know, all these preachers that my mother loved, they knew that, boy, if they ever started to compromise, she'd be right in their face. She loved the Lord, but she cared about it. This was vitally important. Bob Filbert still talks about it. She and my dad were right there behind them, encouraging them. And I grew up, I'm several years younger, 5 years younger than him. But he and I are best buddies because he was always in our home, always having coffee with him. Come back from the mission field, he was in our home. Because he knew my parents loved preachers. And they didn't say, good enough, y'all take care now. No, no, they got involved in their lives. Prayed, wrote. Nowadays you can email. You know, the old days send smoke signals, you know. I say to us this morning, this is a very precious time for this church. Don't miss it. And I challenge you. Say, wow, yeah, it looks like we're in the last days. Yes, okay, but we don't know. Don't try to jump ahead and say, oh, we're seeing this and this and this. Our pastor reminded us of that. You're supposed to be faithful doing what you're supposed to be doing. This may be a while yet before any of that happens, and some of it is stuff that's going to happen after we've been raptured, so don't go counting it out. We get, oh, boy, oh, I want to get my suitcase ready. You won't need it. And I want to get, no, 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 no. So we still got something to do. We've still got a preacher to encourage. We've still got a preacher to encourage. We got a preacher to love. It was a man sent from God whose name was John, a specific man. Out of all the millions and billions in the world, God goes, I want you, son. Me? You. Wow! This is scary. Yes, it is. But it's exciting. There was a man sent from God. He had a message. Had a message. I hope this morning this will be a challenge to you. You don't just stop with it here. Okay, we got him ordained. That's done. That's over. No, no. As a church, we got more to do now. We're going to encourage that guy. And I say to his parents, they can praise God today for a young man who listened. Because there are a lot today. Pastor Kelly and I were talking about it. Kids have been raised in good Christian homes, even pastors' homes, been taught. They have heard. And then when they get out away from home, they begin to make decisions. They want to go their way. Praise God, here's one that didn't. He said, I want to go God's way. But the pressure is great. That's why we need to pray more and encourage him. I hope God will just work in your heart. Just bind your souls together as a church family to pray for this dear couple. And encourage them in whatever way. And then there may be a day, because I had some it happened to, that God called him and Rob Green is in Lubeck. I hate to lose him. He was a great deacon. But I knew God had called him. It was like, yes, go. I get to preach in his chapels and his Christian school now. I can remember when he was in his 20s. He's 60 years old now. I'm like, how old is that making me? And yeah, that's the joy of the pastor in the ministry to look back and see this one went, and that one went, and this one went. Now there's this one that went sour. Oh, but this one didn't. We need more of those. Pray for him. Pray for him this afternoon. This will be a special time for him. As Pastor Kelly preaches, challenges him, and then as the men are showing, yes, we recognize God's calling on this man. I'll be praying for him. I realize it's awesome. It is awesome. I'm still amazed at 72 that God is still allowing me to preach. I'm still amazed. So I'm going to as long as, until the light goes out, until he says, okay, that's enough. Pray for him. Let's pray. Lord, here is a man, a human being. Yes, he's got deficiencies. Yes, he's got weaknesses. He's not an angel, but he's a man that you've called, and that makes the difference. And you are the one that will strengthen and encourage and help him along and help his wife as she stands by him. Because as he preaches and as he carries on whatever ministry you give him, she'll be part of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless them and encourage them. And might this church stand behind them. And the years that they're here, might they just stand right behind them and encourage them. And only time will tell all that can be accomplished because these two have said, yes, Lord, bless them. Bless this church. And then, Lord, might we do our part after by praying, encouraging, helping. And then look for more. We thank thee in Jesus' name. Amen.